DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Brendan Ogle is with me now, the independent candidate in the recent European elections. Brendan, you're welcome back to studio. So you were last here for a debate right at the start of the election process. Remind us why you decided to run in those elections.
Well, there are very personal reasons why I decided to run. I suppose the public ones are, I thought having a record of being involved in activism and being involved in workers' rights and having a vision of some of the things that we might be able to learn from Europe, best practice, I was calling it. I evolved that language into better practice as the campaign moved on. My count and might be relevant in the debate, and I really enjoyed the debate here with Sinead and Ciarán of the Green Party and the Sock Dems. And it turned out it was, apart from one we arranged ourselves, it was actually the only debate on the public airwaves that we had, and there are personal reasons why I ran, which I've discussed with you before, it's no secret that for personal and other reasons I haven't really been able in the last number of years now, 2 or 3 years maybe longer, to be engaged in the trying to make a difference for people in the way I might have been done in the past, and I needed to get back out there for myself. I remember when I was sick thinking, if you get through this, what would you like to do? And one of the things was, I want to go to Argentina.
Box ticked.
And another one was, I wonder what it is like to run for election. Box ticked. So there's some of the reasons.
So I read your kind of reflections that you posted online with real interest the other day as well. And I guess, you know, you're right. You and I have had these conversations before, and about you kind of coming back to work and what the ambitions were post-illness. I guess I didn't realise to what degree maybe running in the European elections represented almost a form of therapy,
I wouldn't.
Maybe that's not how you see it.
But only a slight one.
Yeah, but I didn't realise that, put it this way, to what degree you'd kind of shut yourself off from not human contact, but from kind of meaningful contact with a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm a kind of an outgoing person.
Yeah.
Confident. Some of your listeners would say big mouth. Some of your listeners are probably texting that in right now.
As soon as I said you were going to appear,
that, yes, it was as predictable as you asking a Kilkenny question in the quiz. But for a variety of reasons, some of which I can discuss and others of which I can't, my confidence kind of took a blow.
Yeah.
And it's been a tough few years for personal reasons, and there's been a lot of grief in that in my family. And the way I compared it in what you read was, we have a dog, the gorgeous Frida, and she has to be taken out every morning, several times a day actually. Me and Mandy alternate, and usually Mandy goes and finds other dogs and other dog owners, and it's a kind of a social event. And I find myself kind of avoiding people and avoiding human contact and trying to find places where I wouldn't have to talk to people, and being very introspective and even, dare I say it, a bit dark. And I just thought, well, you can continue on this now, young Ogle, or you can do something that's going to really throw the cards up in the air. And certainly running for election does that.
And what was the avoidance of people that there were certain things you didn't want to talk about, or just you wanted to avoid people,
As I say, the confidence kind of things got a bit dark, a bit down. And I've written about mental health before, by the way.
Yeah.
So that won't be any secret to anybody that has read my ramblings down through the years. I found myself kind of a different space now, going into a different kind of a darkness. I wouldn't call it depression. I would call it just a, I think lack of confidence is the best way I can do it, and kind of the life was shrinking. My belief in my voice. Could I come in here and argue with very, very capable people like Sinead and like Ciarán and other people that I had debates with, other debates during the campaign and that mightn't have been on the airwaves? And could I get myself back up there, and could I get excited about things? And I did.
Yeah.
And didn't win, though.
No, you didn't. But despite the fact that you didn't win a seat, the fact that you did get out there and you did have those debates and those discussions and comported yourself perfectly competently, I mean, how do you reflect now on the experience?
Well, notwithstanding my, and I have to be honest, I'm not going to lie to you or your listeners, I was disappointed in the vote.
Yeah.
So notwithstanding a disappointing vote, I knew I wasn't going to win. You never jump into anything without saying, well, I give it my very best. But I knew it was a tall ask. You know, there was a lot of disadvantages. I was coming in, for lots of reasons, coming in late, resources, independent. I also had this idea, well, if I'm going to run, I'm going to just be myself. And I'm not going to moderate my views on issues. And if I'm going to get a hammering or a tanking, I at least want my own views to be, I don't want to be saying afterwards, well, I wish I hadn't, you know, adapted that. So I put up a website, I put out literature, I spoke to people on the doors, spoke to people in debates, and I stuck rigidly to what my value system is. Yeah. And it was soundly rejected by the electorate in Dublin. But at least it was my value system. And I found that really interesting to talk to people, ordinary people. And I also found the narrative, which is kind of continued, but I've seen Ming Flanagan wrote something at the weekend. You know, this kind of, everybody's hating each other and everything's toxic and everybody's running down the street, you know, shouting abuse at each other. There is a bit of that going on and it's terrible. But not... I found it a really, even with the people who didn't agree with me, and even people who ended up saying, please don't vote for me, they were very pleasant conversations, very nice conversations, and most people are really nice. And that's good to know, to remind people of that. Get off social media. Most people are nice.
Who did you tell not to vote for you?
Well, I did a podcast and we were talking about the migration issue, and I went down the pod, as podcasts do, it went on for a while. So I ended up telling people on the podcast that if you're the type of people that go around, you know, shouting outside international protection centres, get them out, get them out. If you're one of them, don't vote for me because I won't represent you. I don't believe in you and you don't believe in me and you have a different value system than me, so don't vote for me. And then I met some people on the doorsteps. There's one woman in my mind, and I won't be too specific now, but obviously it's in North Dublin, a really, really nice woman. And she just happened to be coming out with her child as I was about to drop in a leaflet and knock her door. And it was all a pleasant conversation, but been a really, I thought there's a vote here because, you know, I was independent. She liked that.
Yeah.
And then we discussed the migration issue, but that turned into a housing debate and we were at idem on that.
Yeah.
But on the back of that, I kind of mentioned, well, you know, the migration issue isn't just about Ukraine and it's not just about wars. We also have climate change. And she then took a turn, a nice turn. I have to stress that. She's a very nice woman.
Yeah.
Climate change was a hoax. Didn't believe in climate change.
Okay.
And then she went on to tell me there was another hoax, which was COVID. COVID was also a hoax. So I've spoken to you about my mum died of COVID. So I advise her of this.
Yeah.
And there's nothing hoaxist about the grave that I go to, you know, it's there. And so then she says, well, I think you're losing my vote now. And I says, I don't want your vote. I says, you should vote for someone who shares your values. And that clearly isn't me. And there was other conversations like that. And I hope she did vote for someone who shared her values because I hope she went out and voted. And that's the last thing we said. And please do vote. And not enough people voted. Poor turnout in 2019. Turnout now. But yeah, I'm not sure it's in the manual for election candidates to be telling people
not to vote
for them.
Do you
I have
think
a bit of learning to do.
Do
maybe.
You think you would have done better if you had moderated your views on certain things? Right. You were probably never going to try and court the views of somebody who thought COVID was a hoax or climate change is a hoax. But, you know, if you'd been a bit more... political, a bit more diplomatic about some of the views. Do you think you might have?
You would be amazed how diplomatic I was. I just wasn't.
Not the first word that jumps to mind.
I just wasn't prepared. I just wasn't prepared to change my values. For example, the migration issue. Whenever that came up, you know, I'm not prepared to blame, you know, something that's happened in Syria or Ukraine for the fact that 25 to 29. Year olds are living with their parents disproportionately. So that's the way I would approach that. And I wasn't prepared to moderate that. And I wasn't prepared to kick down at people either. I'm all about, always been about pushing up throughout my career, I think. I've always been about pushing up. So no, I would never have done that. How would I got more votes? I suppose I learned, you know, the parties have a huge advantage, more so than I ever thought.
Yeah.
Posters, I never knew posters were so important. They're absolutely crucial, and there's a reason why they'll never introduce a law banning election posters. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will never introduce that law. The ballot papers, getting out there, you know, getting media coverage. Thanks to you, I got some media coverage, but it was sparse, generally speaking. And, you know, there's different ways that works and that's decided. And like the 2 foot long ballot papers and then everything being in alphabetical order. And, you know, so I suppose either if someone else was considering doing it, I would give this advice.
Yeah.
Either be in a party or be mad. And I think that's what gives you the best choice. And I don't mean mad, I mean, you know, really be out there, be prepared to say controversial things like Peter Casey famously done in the presidential campaign. There were people saying it in this campaign. There were people, you know, doing a bit of shouting, doing a bit of, you know, I wasn't prepared to do that. So, you know, it is what it is. It's been, I wouldn't change it. I might change the result, but people have said to me, family have said to me, well, are you glad you did it? I really am glad I did it.
Paul in Dublin 24 says, Brendan is a good man and I wouldn't be his traditional demographic, but he should continue to seek a mandate. I'd love to see him in the Dáil. We need articulate voices on the left like him. Would you seek a mandate again? Would you run again?
Well, it's a bit early to decide that. I think running as an independent, and I think there is a voice for independence in the European Parliament, by the way.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to be one of those independents that keeps voting yes to votes of no confidence in the government in the Dáil, I'm not sure there's the same opportunity. So, you know, I think running as an independent in a general election, if I was ever interested in that, I'm not sure about that. So what party would have me here, you know?
Look, there's parties out there.
So it's probably too early to say, but it's been a really, really positive experience. And, you know, it's going to be you know, 5 years until the next European election. So who knows? Maybe Paul will do a bit of canvassing the next time.
There is a Paul in Dublin 24 who's already
at least two.
I should check the text number and see if Paul is texting in. Tell me this. You mentioned that, say, about the party system and what party would have you. What was the reaction from those parties that already exist on the left to your running? Was there pushback?
Oh, well, look at the left. What do you say? What is it? It's never been in government. It's working very hard to make sure it never gets into government. It's successfully done that for 100 years. And yeah, I would say that their view of me is that I've seen the word cancelled being used on social media whenever they'd be talking in media debates that they get, and they'd be talking with other left candidates, they never mentioned my name, they never debated with me. And then when Claire Daly lost her seat, which I was delighted about, for Ukraine reasons, you know, there was this kind of kicking out at Breed Smith for having the temerity to run against. I got a little bit of it, but Breed got lots of it. Having the temerity to run, like we're a democracy, you know. And I didn't find that extraordinary, because I've been in the left,
yeah.
And my experience within the left has been, it's a bit odd, because, you know, I would, some of the values, a lot of the values, I would agree with, but, you know, I'm not sure that there's the same empathy and humanity and understanding for people. Like, I met all of the other candidates. We had European movement debates. You know, I met all the people who got elected. Everybody was entirely pleasant, was nice on a human level. We kind of have disagreements, but we just have to kind of be decent human beings. And, you know, yeah, there was pushback. There was a lot of pushback.
All right, interesting. Well, listen, we will keep in touch. I'm sure we will talk between now and the next European elections in 5 years on some other issue, issues.
I bet you they'll have a quiz about Kilkenny that day, will you?
We will as well. I try and have one every day. Brendan Ogle. Brendan, real pleasure. Thanks a million for coming in.
Thanks, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.